Good evening, Hoops fans. We get you from Wallace High School tonight. The boys D29 sub-district championship will be decided between two familiar foes, two rivals from the RPAC Conference. Paxton Tigers coming in 14-9, advancing to this point with a win over Arthur County on Tuesday, 58-29. Wallace, meanwhile, had very little trouble taking care of business on Tuesday over Sutherland, 65-31. These teams met in Paxton in the middle of January. It was the Wildcats prevailing that evening, 43-35, primarily on the strength of a 13-1 advantage in the first period. It was a very even game after that. In fact, Paxton outscored Wallace in the final three quarters, 34-30, but they could not make up the deficit that they started under, down 12 after the first 8 minutes. I think it's going to be a hotly contested game tonight that will go down to the wire. And Wallace, we think both teams need to win. We know for sure Paxton has to win to continue their season. Wallace, well, you know, it looks like that they would have a hard time getting a wild card if they lost, although there would be a slight chance. But both teams going in with the attitude that they have to win to keep their season going, get to a district final, and play on Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday for a trip to Lincoln. The team's gathering, getting ready to start their 20-minute warm-up period. We're going to start our pregame. It is brought to you by Quick Stop. Just around every corner, fast, easy, and convenient, with six locations in North Platte and locations in Ogallala, Hershey, Grant, and Imperial. On the road to everywhere, it's Quick Stop. Stay tuned. We've got our coaches' interviews coming up. Wallace coach Bob Braithwaite, followed by Paxton coach Justin Harden, right here on Husker Radio, KX104. Max Hansen and Maddox McConnell, player from each team, introing us. Appreciate them taking the time to do that as they stopped at the schools yesterday afternoon. So glad to have you along for this boys D29 sub-district championship. This, when the brackets came out, is what we thought it would boil down to. Clearly the two best teams in this sub-district, but that doesn't always mean that it boils down to the top two seeds, but that is the case. And after talking to the coaches, I'm even more firmly convinced this is going to be a four-quarter game right down to the wire. And who will handle the pressure best in a tight ball game down the stretch? Certainly Wallace with a home court advantage, but Paxton playing excellent ball of late, and these two teams are going to take it to each other for the full 32 minutes, and even that may not quite be enough. Wallace, as we said, coming in 18-7, averaging 52 points a game. They scored 65 on Sutherland in their semifinal on Tuesday. Paxton, 14-9, and also averaging 52 points per ball game. The Tigers playing especially well down the stretch. Were ahead of St. Pat's by 11 in the third period before falling to the Irish in their regular season finale. But most of their games down the stretch have gone in the W column. We're going to be pausing for our national anthem here shortly, and we'll let you enjoy that along with the folks that have gathered to watch the game tonight. Thank you. a collection of seven girls from Wallace High School playing their instruments and getting us primed for this D29 boys sub-district final. Paxton Tigers, 14-9, coached by Justin Harden and Red O'Connor, and the starters will be the same as they were Tuesday. Tristan Hemmelwaite, 5'10", senior, averaging 11.2 points, 9.9 rebounds, leads the team in rebounds, and also in assists and steals, 4.3 assists per game, 2.6 steals. Chase Holm, 5'9", junior, averages 5.5 points, 2 rebounds. Maddox McConnell, 6'5", senior, the scoring leader at 16.8 a game, 6.2 rebounds. Keegan Form, 5'7", freshman, 8.4 points, 1.8 rebounds. And Griffin Perlinger, 6'5", senior, 4.3 points, 2.3 rebounds. And for Wallace, 18-7, coached by Bob Braithwaite, Logan Pavin, and Landon Sweetberg. It'll be Colt Franklin, 6'3", junior, averaging 16.5 points, 8.4 rebounds, leaders in those categories. Max Hansen, 5'9", junior, 14.4 points, 5 rebounds. 6'1", junior, Kyle Melton, 5'9", junior, Tyson Sullivan, and Micah Garrison, who scored 9 the other night, 6'3", junior, as we are about set to toss the ball in the air and get this D29 boys sub-district final underway from Wallace High School. Tap controlled by Colt Franklin, and Wallace starts at the goal to our left here in the first half, and their home whites trimmed in blue, and it is blue for the visitors from Paxton, trimmed in gold. The shot goes from the corner, no good. Paxton rebounds down court in a hurry. Holm whips it inside to, Florham into Holm, but he was backed by Garrison, so no shot. Paxton works it out in the perimeter, now finds McConnell underneath, turns and shoots it up and in. And McConnell gets Paxton on the board first, 2-0 in favor of the Tigers. Here's Garrison penetrating into the paint area. He's going to give it up to Max Hansen. A couple of dribbles over to Melton. Melton shoots a fadeaway from 10, comes up empty into the hands of Hemblethwaite, and up court come the Tigers with their 2-0 lead. We have played 1 minute here from Wallace High School. Glad to have you on KX104. Now a steal by Wallace to the hoop. Two long strides, and the layup off the glass is good by Colt Franklin. Two all. Backcourt pressure a little bit provided by the Wildcats. Man-to-man pressure on the ball handler, but no problem for the Tigers. Now McConnell from the top of the key whips it inside to Holm. Baseline pass out in the corner. Shot by Perlinger, no good. And then after the rebound by Hemblethwaite, we've got a foul called on the Tigers, and it's given to Hemblethwaite. He picks up the first of the game. Wallace will walk the ball up with Max Hansen, their point guard. 5'9", junior, scored 12 on Tuesday and 5 of the first meeting. Goes to the baseline, puts it up. It dances off the rim, no good. McConnell grabs the carom. Ahead to Hemblethwaite, quickly into the front court for the Tigers. Man-to-man defense supplied by Wallace. Here's the toss left of the lane. Turnaround, 8-footer up by McConnell, no good. Cleared by Franklin. Sprawling to the floor, Sullivan. He gets up and follows his teammates into the front court. To the elbow, it's Franklin passing left wing. Sullivan, a dribble, now on top to Garrison, a dribble, and coming to it from left to right, or right to left, is Hansen. Hansen in the corner to Sullivan, shoves it left lane line, and now to Garrison, kick out. Franklin, a head fake, drives, and now makes another move to get past McConnell, put it up, and no good. Good defense by Franklin there, or by McConnell on Franklin as he made a move inside. Here's Tristan Hemloy, the Tigers. The Florham shoves it in between the rings. McConnell to left to Holm, spots a seam in the lane, kick out, open three look for Florham, up and no good. So both teams not hitting shots here in the early going. Franklin on the rebound got fouled by Chase Holm, and that is his first and the team's second. Well, no, they didn't call a foul. Apparently that was just out of bounds, and they give it to Wallace. Paxton player out of bounds, I think is what they ruled. And so no foul, and the Wildcats bring it up. Two all, 4:57 to go in the first period. Boys D29 sub-district final. Winner plays a district final either Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. Now turnover on the Wildcats. Their first of the game, and Hebloth way to cross the line. Paxton has the goal to our right as we view things high above the bleachers on the north side. Here is a toss in from Florin into McConnell. He's double-teamed now to Perlinger in the lane. Eight-footer put up, no good. Off the glass, into the hands of Garrison. Garrison shoves it ahead to Sullivan. He comes up to the three-point line. Paxton showing, looks like a 1-2-2. Here's the three-point try. Hanson, no good, misses badly. Hebblethwaite the rebound. Up court come the Tigers. Still tied at two, halfway through this first period. Griffin Perlinger shoves over to McConnell. Back left side, a fake by Florham. Extends the hands into the chest of Hanson as he passes. No call. Into McConnell, puts it up, dances, and won't drop. But a foul is going to be called on Melton. Kyle Melton, 6'1 junior, picks up the first foul on Wallace this evening. Maddox McConnell will toe up. And his first one is on the way and good for the 6'5 senior. Shoots 52% on the season coming in. Switch out for both teams. Perlinger is replaced by Marcus, and as the second free throw miss, slapped out. And who are they going to give it to? They're going to give it to Paxton. And coming out of the Wallace lineup was Garrison. And Brad Hanson takes his place. Played well on Tuesday. Here's the inbound by the Tigers. And a three's up and good by Florham. Keegan Florham hits a triple, his 27th of the season. Came in tied with Hebblethwaite, now the team leader. 6-2 Tigers. Paxton playing man-to-man, it looks like. Lob it inside to Franklin. A bounce goes over McConnell, who stood his ground and did try to block it. Up and in for Franklin, who has both buckets scored by the Wildcats. 6-4 Paxton into front court for the Tigers. Hebblethwaite hands it out to Markison, coming to the right. Shoves in the corner to Florham. Baseline drive cut off by Brad Hanson. Now Florham whips around and jump pass out on top. Home in the corner. Markison entry. Turnaround shot by McConnell, no good, but he draws the foul. So McConnell establishing a low post presence here in the early going, and that will be the second on Kyle Melton. Melton's got two early fouls. First free throw up and good. Straight through off the hand of McConnell. 7-4. Tigers. The next one no good. Rebound chased after and Franklin got it. Hebblethwaite sprawled to the floor. Paxton fans thought there should have been a foul. Here's a drive the other way. Teardrop attempt no good out the window, but Brad Hanson with his quickness getting in position drew a foul and he's going to the line for a pair. Foul is given to Markison, his first. And the second on the Tigers, both teams committed two fouls. Hanson to the line, and the first by the left-hander is up and no good. He's 44%. Both these teams struggle from the line, although Wallace, 10 percentage points better overall, 58% compared to Paxton's 48% team free throw percentage. And Hanson's next one is up and good. 7-5 Tigers bring it up court with a two-point lead. Wyatt Robertson enters the lineup for the Wildcats. He's a 6'5 sophomore. In the lane it goes to home, and we've got, I think, a travel violation. Didn't see it, but I think that's what it was, and a big hop step by Chase Holm. Turnover number two on the Tigers. 2:40 in the first, 7-5 Paxton. Sullivan across, and gonna call an offensive foul. And call Franklin for a foul underneath the hoop away from the ball. That's the first on Cold Franklin. Now Paxton the other way, throws it away. Too tall for Chase Holm. It was positioned on the baseline, but couldn't grab it. And back-to-back turnovers by the Tigers, but they still lead by two. Sullivan motions for Hansen to take it from him in midcourt. Hansen across. Holm has the defense on him. Hansen switch over dribble. Now his pass deflected by McConnell. Hansen got it back. Center step, now pass chest high to Robertson, who immediately shoves it to Sullivan and sets a screen. Sullivan coming to the left baseline, followed by Hebblethwaite. Out, Hansen squares and shoots. That's Brad Hansen. No good. Holm taps it to Hebblethwaite. Trying to cherry pick, but Max Hansen got back and took it away. Here's Hansen for the Wildcats. Spins in the lane. 10-footer banked up and in. And Max Hansen gives Wallace their seventh point and ties the game. 7-all, minute 43 left in the opening quarter, just as we thought it would be. Back and forth here in the early going. And here's a turnaround by McConnell right from the right lane line. No good. Rebound battled for, chased. Cole Franklin got it, and just as he was dribbling away, Chase Holm came up on him, tried to knock the ball loose, and he has just committed his first foul. Third foul overall. Perlinger plays Holm. Sevens on the scoreboard for each side, and in the foul department, you see threes down below that. Can't get more open, closer than that, I guess. Even Steven points and fouls, and now a double dribble as Brad Hansen took it towards the baseline right side and slipped. And that caused him to put both hands on the ball to control it. Double dribble the violation. Second turnover on the Cats, and up court come the Tigers. Hebblethwaite, one-handed pass, right of center for him in the corner. Open look for McConnell is at 7 on the season. Not that time, though. And the rebound taken by Franklin. Whips it over. Here comes Max Hansen in on Markison all the way underneath the basket. Now flips it to Franklin out for an elbow shot by Robertson. He missed it. Taken by Hebblethwaite. He's going to stop and float it up and bank it in from 6 feet away from the left lane line. Hebblethwaite's first hoop puts Paxton back up 9-7. Half a minute. Here's a three ball from NBA range on top. No good by Max Hansen. Cleared by McConnell. Shot clock goes dark. And Paxton has 23 seconds remaining here to take the final shot of the quarter if they choose to. Here's lobbing to McConnell. Now over to the left side and underneath. Powering up and in is Hebblethwaite. 9 seconds to go. Wallace down court in a hurry. Brad Hansen returns to Max. Puts it up a two. It's good! A three-pointer for Max Hansen. Max Hansen nails it and gets the three to draw Wallace within a single point at the end of one. Paxton 11 and Wallace 10 on Husker Radio KX104. Start of the second period. Paxton 11, Wallace 10. Paxton has the possession to begin the quarter. Chase Holm leaves it for Hebblethwaite, right of center. Now to Perlinger at the left elbow. Back to Hebblethwaite. Cast up a three. It's no good. High to get the rebound is Garrison. Garrison to Max Hansen. Hansen takes in the free throw circle. Pops over Holm. It's no good. Perlinger there for the rebound. Finds Hebblethwaite on his right. Hebblethwaite tosses down into the corner. Markison lobs into McConnell, shoves it over to Perlinger. He puts it up from short range, no good. Hansen the rebound and trots up court in a hurry. Penetrates, but kick out to Robertson, now over to Garrison. On top, Sullivan moves to his right, makes a wraparound bounce, pass into Colt Franklin, and Franklin caps it with two. Franklin was 6 of Wallace's 12, and the Wildcats regained the lead, 12-11. Lobbed inside. McConnell powers off the left block. No good. Garrison twist away with the ball. Hands it off to Max Hansen. Hansen throws across to Sullivan. Tight to the sideline. Far side. Down to Hansen. Got a screen from Robertson. Pull up. 17-footer good for Max Hansen, who has 7 points. And Wallace takes their biggest lead at 14-11. They're on a 7-0 run. Here's a toss by Perlinger, tipped away from O'Connell into the hands of Hansen. Fifth turnover on Paxton. Now Wallace nearly lost it. Garrison slips it inside. Franklin swooping to the left side of the hoop, puts it up no good. And it's cleared by Heblethwaite. Cast a glance at the bench to see what coaches Harden and O'Connor want to run here. 2 minutes into the second period, 3-point lead Wallace, 14-11. Boys D2-9, sub-district winner on to district final. Here's the shot by Perlinger, no good. And in the corner, needing help, Robertson used his dribble, and so he needed somebody to come back to pass it to. He found Franklin. Franklin across into front court. High left, whips to Hansen in the corner. Sullivan up with a three, and he misfired. And it went to the top of the backboard and hit the shot clock, I believe, as well. That's a dead ball over to Paxton as Forum puts feet back on the floor. And Robertson leaving the Wallace lineup, replaced by Brad Hansen. And up court come the Tigers. Pass slips to Markison, but rescued by Holm. Back to Heblethwaite to the elbow. Tapped away, but Tristan retrieves near the far sideline. Down the corner left side, it is Markison heading it up to Holm. Quick pass in the corner for him, penetrates. Scoops it up, no good. Max Hansen got a piece of it. And with 5-10, Wallace the other way trying to add to their lead, but Garrison can't control the ball. It's turnover three on Wallace. Paxton running the court, up court, and we've got a traveling call. A little out of control there. Folded arms by Coach Harden, didn't like that. 6 turnovers on the Tigers. They had 21 in the first meeting. Wallace only committed 8 in that January meeting up in Paxton. And in many respects, that's what cost Paxton the ball game. A lot of those happened in the first period when Wallace outscored him 13-1. Down low, it is Franklin powering up past Perlinger, no good. And after the miss, Franklin went over the shoulder and contact will get him his second foul. And probably a trip next to the coaches here. We'll see. Robertson hops up. And he is going to replace Franklin, who's upset on that foul after the missed shot. 4:52 the first half, 14-11. Wallace Wildcats. They would have just a slight chance at a wild card. Paxton knows they have no chance. They have to win this to extend their season. Here is the drive along the right baseline, getting in and having his man retreat and earning himself a spot underneath and an easy hoop was Florham. Keegan Florham with 5, and it's 14-13. Here's a three-pointer. Falling down as he made it, Max Hansen. That was a rainbow three by Max, 17-13. Heblethwaite for the Tigers. Right side, Florham runs it on top. Back to Heblethwaite, avoids a steal attempt. Now scoops it up underneath, no good. There's Holm up on the putback try, no good. And then after the miss, a foul on the Tigers. And it's going to be given to Heblethwaite, and that's 2 on Tristan Heblethwaite. That is the first foul of the quarter on Paxton. We're going to have our first timeout taken by Wallace. 17-13, Wildcats lead the Tigers. Back to action at Wallace High. Wildcats with a 4-point lead, bring it up court. Here is Max Hansen to Brother Brad. He's going to step into a three right side and miss everything. Heblethwaite plucks it out of the air. His long down court pass for him. Had to go to the wall to try to save it and stepped out in the process of getting the ball in. It's just as well because Max Hansen was taking off after that. Turnover is the 7th on the Tigers. So the Wildcats into front court with Sullivan bouncing. Gets it to Robertson at the foul line. Moves to his right. Twist around. Over to Brad Hansen. Pulls up, no shot in the lane. Robertson will shoot. Too much out the window. Tap by Hebblethwaite to home. Right back to Tristan. He drives in, puts it up past Hansen. No good. And Max Hansen has the rebound and starts up court for the Wildcats. Reverses against Chase Holm. Kicks it on the wing. Sullivan. Good bounce pass down low. Turnaround from six. No good along the baseline by Brad Hansen. Rebound cleared by Hebblethwaite. Up court come the Tigers, trailing by four. 3 minutes remaining in the first half. Pass on top to Chase Holm. Takes one dribble and heads it over right side. Beyond the arc to Markison. Back high left. Catching is McConnell. He whips it to the right elbow. Hebblethwaite in the lane. Kick out. Markison spots up for the three. It's no good. Garrison brings it down. Heads it off to Brad Hansen. He races up left side. Reached in by Hebblethwaite, dislodged it, but Hansen got it back. Now to Sullivan. Sullivan on the dribble, comes around, and now he's going underneath. Twist, heads it back out. Max Hansen's three up, no good. Slipping in for the rebound is Markison. He gets it to Hebblethwaite ahead to Florham on the wing. Florham's going to make the diagonal pass up to Markison, and McConnell kick out Florham for a look. No good from three. Markison slips in for an offensive rebound, a putback try. And gets fouled on the offensive rebound shot attempt. And he'll be at the line. The foul is given to Brad Hansen as first. Markison, 6'1 junior, splits the net. He's 43% on the season. He gets one more, and Tobin Pelster sees action for the first time tonight. Brad Hansen will come out. Another free throw for Markison. And it's up and good, and we have a two-point game. Wildcats lead 17-15. Max Hansen brings the ball up court for the Wildcats. Pulls up, he'll take a three, and that missed everything out of bounds to Paxton with a minute 57. Max Hansen with a couple of trays. Sometimes you can get in that mode when you hit a couple early to think that you want to put it up anytime you feel like you have a decent look. And maybe a little early in the shot clock there for Coach Braithwaite. Here is the pass to the baseline. Wheeling around home, back on top. Florham swings left to Hebblethwaite. McConnell provides a little screen for Tristan, but still no shot. Now McConnell take a three. No good. A little bit of a surprise, and Max Hansen yanks it down, runs in the corner to Sullivan. Three-point attempt, misses badly. Chased down, Pelster gets it. Now to Max Hansen, runs it in. Puts it up on the run, no good. Rebound Paxton, Hebblethwaite makes a baseball pass into home, and he goes up, and they're going to call an offensive foul on Chase Holm. His second and a 30-second timeout taken by the Wallace Wildcats. And we'll be back after this. Minute 15 remaining in the half. Two-point lead for Wallace. Up court to Wildcats. Max Hansen to Sullivan. The Pelster. Bounce pass to the baseline. Garrison. Entry into the lane. Robertson trying to get into the Pelster, and it's swiped by Paxton, and now taken right back as Paxton had it swiped right back by Wallace. That is the eighth turnover on the Tigers. 45 seconds left in the half. Here is Sullivan taken inside. The ball tied up, and that is the call as Hebblethwaite just got in front of him and put both hands on the ball as Sullivan was getting ready to shoot it. And it'll stay with Wallace here as Franklin replaces Pelster. Thrown in to Garrison, back into Franklin, and it was swiped away momentarily. Franklin sticks with it, got it back, and was able to make the hoop. Colt Franklin with eight, and it's 19-15, 30 seconds to go. Shot clock and game clock about even here. Here's McConnell to Florham. Florham spins around, finds Hebblethwaite. in the lane. McConnell, the baseline drop, and up and in on the shot attempt, courtesy of McConnell. Marcuson can thank him for the easy look underneath, and it's 19-17, 6-5. Four. Franklin passes off to Robertson, chases with two. Turnaround Max Hansen, no good from the deep left corner. And we've come to halftime, just what we expected. Wallace leads 19-17. We'll take a break and run down the first half scoring after this on Husker Radio, KX104. 19-17, two-point lead for Wallace over Paxton in this boys' D29 sub-district final. And for Wallace in the first half, all but 1 point out of the hands of their two leading scorers. Max Hansen, the second leading scorer for the Wildcats, scored 10 on two triples and two deuces. 8 for Colt Franklin on 4 field goals. And then the only other point was a free throw the first period by Brad Hansen. Hansen, one of 3 players off the bench that saw action, but the only one who scored, Wyatt Robertson and Tobin Pelster, the others. And 3 of the starters for Wallace not scoring, Melton Sullivan and Garrison. And foul-wise, 2 apiece on Franklin and Melton. Nobody else with more than 1. For Paxton, scoring leader is Keegan Florham, who had a 3 and a 2, adding up to 5 first half points. And then 3 players, each with 4. Heblethwaite with 2 first period goals. McConnell with a field goal and 2 free throws. And Tyler Marcuson, the only player off the bench in that first half, scored a field goal and hit both free throw attempts. So that's where we stand, 19-17, Wallace over the Paxton Tigers. We'll come back and take a look at some other sub-district scores as boys sub-districts championship games being played all across the state. We'll check out some scores after this on Husker Radio, KX104. Wallace up by 2 over Paxton at halftime of this D29 sub-final. And in other sub-finals in D2, Sumner, Eddyville, Miller defeated Met Valley 56-42. SEM off to a district championship. Cody Kilgore leads Mullen with about 4 minutes left, 45-38. That would be a bit of an upset. And going on down here, scores of interest. Garden County up by 2 against Layton, 23-21 at halftime of that sub-district final. Moving now to D1, Maywood Hayes Center upset number 3, St. Pat's tonight, 58-53. So Mayhay will join St. Pat's in that round of 16 in a district final. St. Pat's knew going in that they had a wild card if they lost, and Mayhay knew that they had to win, and they did. They upset the Irish tonight. Both teams will play in district championship games either Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. And Cambridge up by 2 on Bertrand at the end of the first half. Moving to C2. We have, let's see what we got from the area. Not a whole lot, I guess. Closest would be Valentine over Kimball, 34-31. That is a halftime score from Kimball. And in C1, Ogallala put 55 on the board in the first half against Bridgeport in that subfinal in Ogallala. Ogallala leading Bridgeport 55-23 at halftime. They are a juggernaut. Donovan Trumbull beat Gothenburg 55-50. Cozad won their sub over Milford tonight, 64 to 53. So there you go. We'll take a break when we come back. The start of the second half between Paxton and Wallace here on Husker Radio, KX104. We thank these sponsors to make it possible for us to bring you this game. The Wallace sponsors include Day Spring Bank and the Wallace Agency, Tees Bars and Grill, Consolidated Companies, Copeland Electric, and Midwest Ag Products. And for Paxton, Scow Realty and Scow Auction, Midwest Electric, Heinrich Seed, Hardin Agency, Consolidated Companies, Party Girl Creations, Copeland Electric, Ole's Big Game Steakhouse, and Ackerman General Contracting. Thank them for allowing us to cover the area teams. Paxton, first possession, down by two to start the second half. They have the goal in front of their bench on the left as we view it. Pass tip by Max Hansen, got near the timeline by Florham, and then he pushed off as he started to dribble towards the arc. He pushed that hand out to gain some space between him and Max Hansen, and officials caught it. Sometimes they don't see that, but they did that time. Florham's first foul the second half on the 5'7 freshman. Wallace up court. They're in front of their bench on the right side. Here is Franklin going to the block against McConnell. Spots it open. Max Hansen cutting to the hoop. Hansen catches and scores. And he now has 12 to lead the Wildcats. 21-17, 40 seconds into the second half. Hebleth wait for the Tigers. Handed on to McConnell. Coming right side, shoving the pass to Florham. Runs it left side. Taking a handoff is Hebblethwaite, whips it to Florham in the corner, left side to Holm. Chase Holm out to Florham. Now to McConnell. Now to Holm. He takes it in on Melton and puts it up on the run. No good. Melton fighting for it. And they say that Holm was the last to have a hand on the ball that time. And so it's given to Wallace. Here comes Max Hansen clearing the line, spinning around. Left side finds Sullivan. Sullivan bounce pass, left side return, and he'll take the three. It's no good. Off of McConnell, and Perlinger along the baseline collects it and waits for Hebblethwaite to come to the ball. Hebblethwaite will push it up court. 4-point Wallace lead into McConnell, and he goes up over Garrison. No good. Placement rebound, we thought, but then Holm came in and tapped it away. He's just like a pesky gnat out there. Ball belongs to Wallace, up court to Wildcats with a 4-point advantage. Winner on to a district final either Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday. Everything will be announced tomorrow morning, so we'll know the winner of this, who they're playing and where they're playing. Here is the 3-point try. Garrison, no good. Ripped down by McConnell. Quickly to Hebblethwaite. Ahead to Florham. Drives in on Garrison and tried to draw a charge. Florham missed. He did a good job sidestepping Garrison and barely contacting him. But that may have changed his shot as well. Wallace into their offense. Moving is Max Hansen to the baseline. Feeds it backwards to Franklin. He missed a 10-footer. Rebound home off to Hebblethwaite. Hebblethwaite in front court, and Coach Arden of the Tigers wants a timeout. A quick one taken by Paxton. They trail by four, 2.5 minutes into the third. 5.5 remaining in the third period. Boys D29 sub-final from Wallace. The gym is pretty packed. Got Paxton fans on our side, Wallace fans across the way, and they're watching a good one just as we suspected coming in. Here's Markison whipping the pass left side. And now back to the right and stolen by Max Hansen. He runs it in for the layup against McConnell. No good. Tapped up by Garrison. And Markison comes up with it. And then Sullivan trying to rip it away. And they're going to call a foul here on Tyson Sullivan. That'll be his first of the third period on Wallace. And, of course, the Wallace fans disagreed with that. Keegan Florham gets inbound ahead over the line to Marcus into the corner. Home entry into Hedlethwaite, and he clearly elbowed Sullivan out of the way before he put the ball up. And that is an item because that is number three on Tristan Hedlethwaite. You'll have to be extremely careful here. We still have 5 minutes to play in the third period, and Hedlethwaite playing with three fouls. No move yet by Coach Harden to replace him. Here's the jumper from the right elbow up by Franklin. No good. Ripped down Melton and then slapped as Melton came down. I think it was Holm that slapped it away. He can test everything. He's around the ball. He's going to be trying to dislodge it. Still belongs to Wallace, so inbound underneath the basket. Into Franklin. He's immediately bumped by Markison. Picks it up out to Hansen. No good on the three-ball attempt. And then look at Chase Holm. Chase after it. Try to tie up Sullivan. And they just call it out of bounds, apparently, off of Sullivan. And the Wallace fans are not liking that. Thought there should have been a foul. And tell you what, certainly a case for that. Paxton the other way into Hedlethwaite. Twist right, and then back to his left, puts it up and in over Sullivan. Hedlethwaite now with six, and it's 21-19. 4:08 to go in the third. In the lane, Franklin backing in on McConnell. Splits two defenders and puts it up and in. Real nice move by Colt Franklin. 23-19, Wildcats lead back to four. Markison comes around left, hands off to Holm, dumps it into Hedlethwaite. He twists back left side, baseline, flip up towards the hoop. No good. Rebound, Max Hansen, and he is slapped by Chase Holm. And Markison there, and they gave the foul to Markison. And that is a second on Tyler Markison with 3:45 left in this third quarter. Third foul on Paxton here in the third. No bonus free throws yet, but it could happen. Two more fouls here and plenty of time in the third. Here is Colt Franklin, left of the lane, back right side, and taking the jumper is Melton. No good. Hedlethwaite falls down as he got the rebound, but he had a teammate right there to scoop it to, and now Tigers clear the line with Florham going left to Markison. Deep on the wing left side, it's Holm flipping up to McConnell. He played inside early, but mostly on the perimeter since first period. Now the shot right side up by Markison's no good. And somebody clipped him, they say it was Melton. No, it must have been away from the ball there where the foul occurred. Jostling for the rebound, they give Melton his third. Inbounded shot from the corner is up and no good, but we got a foul. The foul is going to be the fourth on Melton. Kyle Melton has just picked up his fourth. Here's the free throw up and no good by Hedlethwaite. Hedlethwaite with six. Second one no good, and he gets one more because he was behind the arc when he shot it. Melton will leave now. Wyatt Robertson, 6'5 sought to take his place. Hedlethwaite's third free throw, no good, but McConnell rebound, pushes off the window, and good. Maddox McConnell able to get something out of it, and Hedlethwaite missed all three. 23-21, up court come the Wildcats, and a push-off on Chase Holm. He didn't agree with it. Chase Holm's third foul. Looks like officials are going to call it tighter here down the stretch. And it comes underneath. It's taken away from Franklin. Robertson had a good look from 6 feet away, but couldn't get it to drop. Rebound to the Tigers, and Keegan Florham handles point guard duties, takes it across, and then tried to hand it off to Hedlethwaite. And winding up with the ball is Max Hansen, who is coming up on Florham, and they call I think they just called traveling there as Farmer's trying to hand it off to Heblethwaite. Max Hansen got in the way. So it's a turnover on the Tigers, their 10th of the game. 2:38 in the third, 2-point lead for Wallace. Here's Sullivan trying to add three. It's no good. But the rebound right to Franklin, who shoves it on the bounce into Robertson. Markeson on him. Robertson, no place to go. Flips it out to Sullivan. Drives. Dish out. Garrison's three on the way. It's good. He's the best free throw shooter, or the best three-point shooter for Wallace by percentage. His 11th tray of the season increases the Wildcats' lead. And now we come the other way, and we have a foul whistled on the Wildcats. And that'll go against Robertson, his first and the fourth of the quarter. ...26-21 Wallace, in it comes to Heblethwaite, moves inside and finds an open Maddox McConnell for the easy two. Heblethwaite do three players. McConnell slipped in from the left, and Heblethwaite able to bounce on the ball. And now a full timeout taken by Paxton. 3-point game in the late stages of the third quarter. Just over 2 minutes left in the third period. 3-point lead, Wallace over Paxton. Wallace across, Garrison has it, and an entry pass is taken away, stolen by the Tigers. And they have it down by three. Losing the dribble momentarily. Retrieving those, Heblethwaite goes tight to the sideline. Florham loops a pass over to home. Inside to McConnell. McConnell bounces, goes up, and kisses off the glass and in. And Maddox McConnell once again reasserting himself underneath. 10 for the 6'5 senior. And we have a 1-point game. 26-25. Wallace over to Sullivan. Sullivan bounces inside. Franklin up strong and hits it. Colt Franklin now with 12. He and Hansen each have a dozen. 28-25. Into the corner, it's home. Flipping on top to Florham. Lob into McConnell. He wheels, shoots up a short one. No good. And the rebound slapped off the floor. Comes to Max Hansen, and then getting spilled Heblethwaite. They're going to call a foul on Sullivan. Sullivan and Heblethwaite have been going at it like it's like they're, well, I don't want to use the boxing analogy, but they've been mixing it up. And definitely got their own little rivalry going on the hardwood tonight. So they're going to give the foul to Sullivan, and that's his second. And it's Paxton ball. They call it a player control, so no free throws yet. That was the fifth foul of the quarter. Heblethwaite aims in the corner, home on top. A good, nice pass into McConnell, and then to Markeson, who caps it with two. Tyler Markeson with half a dozen, and Paxton trails by a single point, 28-27. Sometimes we overhype a game like this. I don't think you can emphasize enough how close these teams are, how much of a rivalry it is, and this is exactly what we expected. Pass whip left side to Garrison, who whips it into Robertson, who shoots a 12-footer just inside the foul stripe. No good. Rebound McConnell, heave at the buzzer, no good by Heblethwaite. He could have taken a couple more steps. The buzzer didn't sound until the ball came off the backboard, but he wanted to make sure he got it up. 28-27, Wallace over Paxton as we head to the final 8 minutes of regulation here on KX104 Husker Radio. All right, start of the fourth period. 28-27, Wallace leads by a point. Boys D29 sub-district final. Here is Heblethwaite moving to the right in the lane. Pull-up 10-footer, rolls around and drops, and then hurt on the floor is Wyatt Robertson for Wallace. Coach Harden calling his players over real quick to say something as Robertson's slow to get up. He does get up. So the hoop by Hebblethwaite. Now he has 8. They get Robertson to the bench. And Kyle Milton takes his place. McConnell leads Paxton with 10, 12 each for Franklin and Max Hansen for the Wildcats. Here's a 3 ball by Florham, in and out, or by Max Hansen, over Florham, no good. In and out, and rebound Hebblethwaite. Here he comes into front court. Paxton now with the 1-point lead, 29-28. Corner left side, Chase Holm whips it up to Florham. He's being manned up by Max Hansen. Now left side to Holm, to Hebblethwaite. Garrison has the guard duties on him. Now they switch off as Hebblethwaite comes right into the corner. Markison on top, Florham. Skip pass over to Holm. Hands it back to Hebblethwaite. 3-pointer on the way. It is no good. Rebound Holm, didn't box him off, and Chase Holm puts it in. First basket for the 5'9 junior. Paxton leads by 3, 31-28. A minute and 15 into the fourth period. Ball shot to Max Hansen in the lane with a hop step. Puts it up no good, but contact and the foul will put number 3 for Wallace at the line. Fouls on Hebblethwaite, and that is his 4th, so real interesting. Hebblethwaite has just picked up his 4th. Melton playing for Wallace has 4 fouls, too. Yeah, first free throws, no good. Coach Hart doing wild hand signals. He wanted him to switch rebounding position closest to the hoop. McConnell shifts to the left and Marcus into the right. Max Hansen, another free throw. He drains that one. The Paul Wallace within 2. 31-29, Paxton. Hebblethwaite across. Couple of dribbles, whips it over to Markison. Back to Florham. He drives, stops. Back out Markison, over to Florham. Couple of dribbles, hands it off to Hebblethwaite. Hebblethwaite shows a bounce pass to Holm. Back to Markison. His pass deflected and Melton, who deflected it, swatted it out of bounds into the Paxton bench. 7 seconds on the shot clock. Markison looks in. Into Hebblethwaite. Got a nice screen from McConnell. Puts up the 3. It's no good. But McConnell gets the rebound, and Paxton has another opportunity to score. Hebblethwaite bounce pass on the left wing. Here's Chase Holm. On top Florham. Back to Holm. Works it into McConnell. Back out. 3 ball. Good look for Markison. And he connects. Tyler Markison with the 3. Puts Paxton up 34-29. Left side, Garrison, over to Sullivan. Bounce pass to Melton. His slip pass gets away. Now loose in the middle of the court. Florham on his back, scooped it to McConnell. McConnell goes in and scores it. And the Paxton fans are really exercising their vocal cords now. Wallace takes a timeout with 5:26 left. Paxton enjoys a 7-point lead. 5:26 left to play, and the Paxton Tigers up by 7. Wallace just used their 3rd timeout. On offense, Sullivan. Out to Garrison, and stepping in, Markison nearly stole it. Garrison collects it in the backcourt. Hands it off to Sullivan. 9 on the clock. Sullivan back to Hansen. Juggled. Got it back. Max Hansen working the wing. 3-2. It goes into the backcourt, and a heat by Sullivan. Can't get it to the rim. It's a shot clock violation. And that is just very sticky defense by the Tigers there to keep Wallace from, or keep the Wildcats from getting any good looks. So a shot clock violation, only the 6th turnover on the Wildcats. Paxton by 7. Looks like they want to work on the clock a little bit here. 20 on the shot clock, working around the perimeter. Here's Holm being jumped at as Wallace now going to gamble a little bit on defense, and now Paxton uses a timeout. 30 taken by Coach Harden. 4.5 minutes remaining. 7-point lead for Paxton. Here's Marcuson. Left side, Heddlethwaite spins at the elbow. They call him for an offensive foul, and that could change things. Tristan Heddlethwaite has just fouled out, and the Paxton fans really giving it to the official who made the call. It was clear to me, though, that he did use that elbow to gain an advantage, so can't call the official, can't call out the official for making the call on that. 4:23, and the Tigers are going to have to go without their primary point guard, Heddlethwaite. Here's Max Hansen on the right wing up to Brad Hansen. Hadn't played a whole lot in the second half. He's in there now. Now into Franklin. Twist in the lane. Six-footer dances and calls over the rim and in for Colt Franklin. He's got 14, and Wallace back within five. 31-36, a steal by Hansen, but they call a foul. They call that on Max Hansen. They gave the foul to Wallace, to Brad Hansen, his second, and the first on Wallace here in the fourth period. Paxton by five with the basketball. Florham runs it over the half-court line. Now Max Hansen strips him, takes it away. Hansen to the hoop, up, missed it. Tapped, and it comes to Cole Franklin. Franklin in between two defenders, puts it up and draws the foul. Didn't make it, but he'll shoot two, and the official pointing at Red O'Connor, the assistant of Paxton. He was giving it to the ref. The foul is given to Florham, his second. To the line, shooting a pair is Colt Franklin. First one rims off, no good. Franklin 63%. He and Hansen, the best foul shooters among the regulars. Second one up, that's also no good. So Wallace fails to make up ground, and now we come the other way, and a long pass, the ball tied up between Melton and Marcuson. And did they call a tie ball, possession arrow to Wallace? No, possession arrow to Paxton. Okay. Yeah, they were going to give it to Wallace, and then I think Justin Hart got their attention and said, hey, the arrow is pointing to us. So Paxton ball underneath the basket, leading 36-31. Into McConnell in the corner to Florham. Drives on Max Hansen, picks it up. Out to Marcuson, three ball over Melton, no good. Plucked out of the air by Max Hansen. He races up court, followed by Holm, and now Florham steps in, nearly took it away. And they call a tie ball as Florham ripped it away from Hansen. This arrow points in favor of the Wildcats. They will inbound with 3:22 left, down by five, 36-31. In the corner, fake by Melton. Moves inside the arc, back of the corner, squaring a three by Max Hansen's, no good. He was hot early, but he really hasn't had many shots here in the second half. Paxton into front court. High post to McConnell. Now to home. Works head of the key. Marcuson on the right wing dumps it to Florham. Work it up to home. Over to Perlinger, who pops out front. Now to McConnell. Makes a move in the lane. Up. Franklin blocked it and took it away. Great defense by Franklin. Franklin down on the baseline, trying to back in on McConnell. Wheels, jump pass out to Garrett. Now the three by Brad Hansen, and he nails it. Brad Hansen connects on the three ball. We got a two-point game, 36-34. Crossing the line, Marcuson. He's double-teamed, gets it off the Florham. Timeout, Coach Harden and the Tigers. 2:25 left. And it's a two-point game, 36-34 in favor of Paxton. 2:25 remaining. Paxton playing the remainder of the game without Tristan Heblethwaite, has a two-point lead, but now it's taken away from home. Here come the Wildcats. They could tie it with a two and regain the lead with a three. Out to Sullivan, swings to Anson. Two-point shot up, no good. Keegan Florham gets the rebound ahead to McConnell. Brushed by Max Hansen, but McConnell able to get it to Florham. Florham across. Passes right to Markison. Into McConnell. Goes to work on Franklin. Up, no good. Tipped out off of Max Hansen. Paxton ball underneath the basket. Tigers lead 36-34. A minute 52 to go in regulation. Wouldn't surprise me at all if we need an extra 4 minutes. Here's the toss in, and Franklin intercepts the inbound pass, and Wallace comes the other way, down by two. Max Hansen across to Brad Hansen, into Garrison. Micah flips it out. Tyson Sullivan works to the baseline, pass into Franklin, puts it up, past Pertlinger, up and in. Colt Franklin has 16, tie game. Backcourt pressure on Florham, and now going for the steal. Hansen didn't get it. Florham to home, got to hurry to beat the 10 seconds. They do. Florham left wing. Pertlinger, high pass, but Markison gets it. Gets a return from home. Markison drives, runs into Sullivan, and they're going to call a block on Sullivan. Tyson Sullivan's third. Second foul of the quarter with a minute 14 to go. Keegan Florham will look in, right baseline underneath the hoop, and now in the corner, three ball home, no good. Pertlinger rebound. Pertlinger out to Markison, swings left side to Florham. Florham looking, skips it over right side, home entry into McConnell. McConnell powers in the lane, jump pass for an open look for Florham, missed it. Rebound to Colt Franklin, tied at 36. Here comes Wallace. Coach Braithwaite up, telling Max Hansen to take his time. Hansen to the foul line, and now Coach Braithwaite says, we'll take a timeout. Boy, Hansen was going to have a real good attempt from the foul line there, but Coach Braithwaite had made up his mind to use a timeout and set up a play. 46 seconds left, 36-36. 46 seconds remaining in regulation, all tied at 36. Both teams have one timeout remaining. Wallace will throw it in underneath the basket to the left of the backboard. Officials discussing something here before they hand the ball. Are they discussing where they're going to throw it in from? Coach Braithwaite is having a discussion with the official. And now Wallace, they're going to make Wallace inbound in front of their bench. Well, that changes the play because they thought they were going to inbound underneath. Into Sullivan, to Brad Hansen, lobbing in, tipped by Maddox McConnell, off of McConnell. Trying to find Franklin on the inside. That has been some battle between Franklin and McConnell. 39 seconds left, tie game. Entry in the corner to Max Hansen. McConnell jumps out on him, and now Wallace works it over to Garrison. Pull up, 16-footer, clanks off, no good. Off of McConnell, Brad Hansen rescues. That's a Sullivan three. It's up, no good. Rebound McConnell. 26 seconds to go. Paxton can work this down and try to win it in regulation. Here's Keegan Florham, cross the line, sends it left side, and a timeout taken by the Tigers. 18 seconds left, tied at 36. We'll be right back. Look up cliffhanger, and this is the picture right here. 18 seconds to go, tied at 36. Paxton enters it in front of their bench. McConnell whips in the backcourt for Florham, guarded by Max Hansen. Hansen tapped it away, but Florham gets it and then tripped, and that'll be a foul, but no worry for Wallace because that's just their third of the quarter. Max Hansen picks up his first. And that's actually good. Slowed him down, 11.9 on the clock. They got one more foul to give. And it comes to Chase Holm. Brad Hansen on him. Holm comes to the left with 8 seconds. He's looking for help, and now it's going to be intercepted. Max Hansen, 5-4, goes in, puts it up and in with 2 seconds to go. Paxton's out of timeouts. Ball game over. And they storm the court, the Wallace players, in jubilation. Max Hansen stole the ball from Florham and took it to the hoop and scored it with 2 seconds left. Paxton had used their timeouts and could not stop the clock. Even if they had a timeout, they would have had only about a second and would have had to have thrown it the length of the court for an attempt to win the game. Well, quite an end to this one. And on a steal and layup by Max Hansen, the Wallace Wildcats advance to district final, and now they're hoping to get a top 8 seed and host a district final. That will be officially announced, the matchup and whether Wallace will have to travel or host. That'll be announced in the morning. They'll probably have it figured out, though, here this evening when all the finals are in. 38-36, Wallace prevails. Remember, Paxton had a 7-point lead at 36-29, and Wallace scored the last 9 points of the game. And you have to wonder, if you're a Paxton fan, if Tristan Heblethwaite hadn't fouled out, if they would have been able to change the result. Well, players and fans from Wallace rejoicing, student body hugging the players, and dejection on the Paxton side. We'll come back and start our postgame after this on Husker Radio, KX104. Back to Wallace, the afterglow of a last-second victory for the Wildcats lingers here for the home folks. Paxton fans, many of them are still in the stands, and I think trying to process this. And Paxton again led 36-29, and they really had Wallace reeling, and that was with about 5.5 minutes left, and Wallace took a timeout down by 7. But shortly thereafter, with 4:23 left, Tristan Heblethwaite fouled out for Paxton, was called for an offensive foul. He had to leave the game. And that's when the tide turned, and Wallace kept chopping into that deficit and eventually tied it at 36. It came down to Paxton with the ball with 18 seconds left. They had used their final timeout to set up a play. But after a tip out and Paxton throwing it in underneath their basket, they were trying to run the clock down for the final shot. And out front, Max Hansen stole the ball away and was able to take it to the hoop and make the layup. He was contested, but again, that's a tough position if you're a defender for Paxton. If you foul him, you know they get free throws. But Paxton could have fouled before Hansen went up for the shot because they had a couple of fouls to give. They only had committed two fouls in the quarter. But at the time, when you're in that moment, you don't necessarily think of that. And Hansen was able to get to the hoop and put up the layup. Paxton out of timeouts. And we got some players and Coach Sweetberg up to visit with us. All right. Let's get the Colt man on, Mike. All right, Colt Franklin with us. Wow, what a game, Colt. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm just making sure you hear me. There. I don't think you could hear anything after Max made that last shot, though.
I know my ears are still kind of ringing.
Woo! What a game. What a game.
Uh-huh.
Everything I thought coming in, I was, you know, talking to the coaches, looking over everything, having called the first game up in Paxton, knowing that if as long as they didn't, lay an egg in a quarter, that it was going to be nip and tuck the whole way, and that's exactly what it was. But pretty clear to me that when Tristan Hebblethwaite fouled out, that kind of got you going in the right direction.
Yeah, that was something tough for them to see.
As a player, you don't even like – I mean, you would have rather that he – I mean, the foul's a foul. He's got to go. He had four fouls. But, I mean, from a competitive standpoint, you would like to have him on the court and beat him that way, right?
Yeah, we want to play him when they're full strength, beat him that way. But what happens, happens.
They battled hard. They weren't able to score after that. Credit to your guys' defense. You did it. I mean, it was just it was all predicated on defense. You forced four turnovers down the stretch.
Wow.
And then you were able to capitalize and scratch out some buckets down the stretch. It was just one of those games where you knew it was going to come down to just a play or two at the end, right?
Yep. We knew it was going to be a tough one coming in. We knew we had to play them tough, and they played us tough. We got to give them credit. They're a great team, and it was a fun game to play against them.
Did Coach tell you that you had did you have a little extra incentive knowing that you probably weren't going to have a wild card if you lost? I mean, there's probably less than a 5% chance if you'd lost.
We knew this was basically a win or go home.
Yeah. So did that give you a little extra boost, or did you not even need an extra boost because it was simply Paxton?
I think even if we would have known we could have gotten a wild card, we play the same no matter what.
Okay. What from your vantage point, where were you on the court when Max stole it?
I was right about on that left side wing.
You were on the left side wing, and you saw him steal it.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction as he was running towards the hoop?
Well, I thought he was going to miss it like he missed the other one.
You did? Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I did.
He's laughing. I'm going to talk to him next. He's laughing. That's going to be funny. That's a good one. I like that. This happens. You got your fat face out there. Hey, there you go. There's the look. Proudly holding it up there. You got your supporters out there. I love those things. Just pandemonium after that. Have you ever been in a game that ended like that?
We've been on the losing end of that last year.
Oh, that's got to be a gut punch.
Yep, so we've seen both sides of it. Yeah. We've experienced both sides of it now.
I'm guessing tonight is much better.
tenfold, yep.
You probably know by later tonight. You let the coaches do the number crunching, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll figure out.
Did Coach say he thinks you have a good chance of hosting a district final?
I think we were sitting right around nine.
You were tied for ninth going in.
Yep, so we'll find out tonight.
So it takes... It takes at least one team above you losing probably to pump you up.
Yep.
I imagine at this point you don't care.
Right.
Just tell us where to go, where to show up, what day and what time we'll be there, right?
Yep. We'll play anybody.
All right. Colt, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
In the district final.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll hand her off to Max, get him on, and then Coach Sweetberg. Max, man of the hour. Wow. What's going through your brain right now?
Well,
man.
Yeah. Well, first off, I just want to give all glory to God. You know, he put me in that position to score that basket, and it's
tremendous.
Great to be there. Yeah. And I was looking at – I we were going to go trap it, and I saw him sticking out that ball, and I knew I could go get it. And I focused right on the rim, you know. Like you said, I wasn't going to miss this last one. I was going to go make it, and just amazing to be put in that position. I just want to give all glory and savor to my Lord and Savior.
You had missed the prior attempt you had at a layup, and you're probably like, just give me one more chance, right? Was that the thought?
Yeah.
Give me one more chance, and I will nail it.
I just redemption. You know, you look past the last play. You always look forward to what's coming next. You got to stay in the moment. You can't dwell on the past, and that's what I did in that moment. I wasn't even thinking about that when I went up for that shot. I knew it was going in.
This was a total gut check game. It was like, if you liken it to a boxing match, it was like, I mean, you had them staggering for a while, and then they got you staggering.
Yeah, you know, they played a great game. Credit to them. They had a great game plan, and we knew it was going to be a four-quarter game. You know, basketball, it's a game of runs. You just back and forth like a boxing match, like you said, each team throwing their own punch, and we were able to handle it kind of when they threw that one middle of the fourth quarter, and we were able to really stay within ourselves. We've been put in a pretty pressure position a lot of times this year, and we knew what we needed to do. And I think we especially learned from last year being on the losing end of a buzzer beater. It really helped us, you know, motivation, summer, everything to this moment right here, get redemption for that.
Well, I'd say that's pretty good redemption. I'm wondering why they didn't foul you. They had two fouls to give. And you know, in the heat of the moment, though, you can't be critical because I think the guy, Florham, I think, got in front of you, was just trying to defend. I think their hands were tied. They foul you. Obviously, if they foul you ahead of time, but then, you know, the normal reaction when somebody steals the ball from you is to make it as hard as you can without fouling him on the layup, and that's what he did. So.
Yeah, it's just so hard, four-quarter game to everything going through your mind. It's a tough game.
Well, this is something that will live on, but it could be trumped when you play your district final.
Yes.
And you could be playing back here.
Yeah, I think
that's the hope, and you got a chance depending on the other results tonight.
Yes. So yeah, goal's definitely not done. Our goal was to get to state and win state. And for now, we're only part of the way there. We got to keep winning and keep our foot on the gas.
This team, I sense, is really tight-knit. You guys, really, you don't have any seniors, do you? I mean, this junior class, obviously, has been playing together for a lot, but you're all pulling in the same direction. It's clear to me that there aren't any eyes on the team, no selfishness. It's all about going out there, playing the way the coaches want you to play to be successful, and you don't care about who gets the glory.
Yep, it just everyone's going to score. Good teams, everyone can score, so we find the open shot every single possession. We could care who gets it. Tonight it was my night on the winning basket. Tomorrow it'll be someone else's. You know, you never know who's going to have the ball in that position, and we're going to look to get the ball in the best position for that.
All right. Well, Max, I want it to be here. I'm hoping it's here, but that's kind of selfish. I don't need more windshield time, but I don't care where it is. I'll be covering you guys.
All right.
And if it's Saturday, Monday, or Tuesday, it doesn't matter. So it'll be fun. And the ride continues, and I'm sure you guys will get together and kind of have a little mini scouting report on who you find out you play, right?
Huh? Yep, that's the goal. We're already looking forward to the next game, already checking PowerPoints and seeing who it looks like we're going to be up against.
You kids are probably better than the coaches figuring out who you're going to play.
The new technology is a little,
Right? Thanks a lot, Max.
Yeah,
we'll
thank
see
you.
Take care. We'll get Coach Sweetberg over here. I know Coach Braithwaite said he was going to get together with Liz Hawk, the AD, and they're already in that crunching number mode, Landon, aren't they?
Yes, for sure. Coach Braithwaite's been crunching numbers for the last 2 weeks.
Oh, gosh. As a proud Wallace alum, this has to do your heart good to see this.
Oh, absolutely. It's so fun to teams like this that just bring a community together, and then after what happened last year, it was just good to be on the other end of it this year. And I'm so proud of the boys, their effort going down seven with 4 minutes to go, and they were never out of it. They just kept believing, and they started it on defense. One thing we've prided ourselves on all season is defense and rebounding, and that's it's just they stuck with the plan.
So boil it down to the last, essentially, when coach called the timeout, 5:26 left, you were down 36-29. And then Heblethwaite fouled out about a minute later. But what was said in that particular timeout when you were kind of reeling at that point? They were really taking it to you, and you weren't able to get anything going offensively.
Yeah, we just told them to stay the course. We thought offensively we were forcing up some quick shots. We pride ourselves on getting an inside-outside game, and we were settling for one pass, two pass threes, or jumpers. That's not what we're looking for. We want to put some pressure on the inside, the paint, the block, and I thought we started getting there. We brought Bradley Hansen off the bench, huge three. Tyson was struggling a little bit tonight offensively, so Brad actually didn't play any of the third quarter and didn't play the first two or three minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Came in, one of the first two possessions, he hits a three. I mean, I just can't say enough how proud I am with all the boys. We've got a bench full of boys that are always ready to play, and when their moment comes, they're ready.
Can't say enough. Two guys that I just talked to, Colt Franklin and Max Hansen, they're clearly the leaders on this team, and they pretty much carried you on their backs tonight, didn't they?
Yes, they all year. I mean, we've worked at times. We've just got to find other scorers at times, but it goes through Colt and Max. I mean, they've been starters since they're freshmen. They're comfortable. They're probably more comfortable in these tight situations than some of the other players are. And like Max at the end of the game, they're just ready to make a play. They're ready to do it for their team, and they're just so proud of them.
What was the reaction along the bench when Max stole the ball in the ensuing wild, frantic few seconds there?
Yeah, I think we were all holding our breath that he didn't miss the second one. No, you play in games like these, and your adrenaline is just through the roof. And he missed that the earlier layup, and you could tell that last one he was going to take his time. He was either going to get fouled or he was going to make it, and he made it. So very proud that he goes back to the fundamentals. Coach Braithwaite's always talked about, and when I first started coaching with him, jumping off of 2 feet. Everything we do, we try to do off of 2 feet. A lot of times I'm like, why not just jump off 1 foot and do a layup? But you're so much more control when you're under 2 feet. You're balanced. And games like these, it really comes down, and it shows that when you're fundamental and go off of two, you're stronger, you finish stronger, and good things happen.
Well, they had used their final timeout. They didn't have a chance. Not that they're going to have much time, probably a second or barely over a second had they been able to take one. They were going to have to heave it down court. But that's always great. Those moments like those don't come along very often, especially when you get to play in front of your home fans, and then you can have that moment where the student body especially rushes the court and you get to enjoy that.
This is one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been a part of. I mean, props to the Wildcat faithful. I mean, they came out tonight. The student section, I've been so proud of our, you come to these small schools and most of your high school kids are playing. So there's not, you don't have a ton of student section. Our elementary kids have filled that student section all year, and they have, I mean, they're chanting Go Big Blue 7 o'clock this morning. I mean,
yeah,
it's
that's
just,
why I heard that. Yeah,
I mean, they've done that all year, and the pride and the Wildcat futures is bright just with the number of kids that, and they watch the game. You know, sometimes you go places and you got elementary kids that are just running around crazy, and I'm just so proud of our kids. They're watching the game and they're intent and they're learning the game, and that's stuff that you can't coach when you get to high school. It's too late if they're coming to high school and they don't know the game.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see that they're excited and they're ready to play.
All right. Do we have any better idea of who we might play in a district final?
The initial indication looks like possibly Fall City Sacred Heart, barring any crazy upsets tonight, in Fall City.
So in Fall City.
In Fall City is what we're looking at. So.
Okay.
Coach Braithwaite was talking with parents. Okay. We're putting a game plan together, but there's a lot of things that can happen. So,
okay. And is it pretty much up to them on what day they want to play then?
I don't know the details of that. Okay. They usually let the visiting team decide.
They do?
From what I've understood, they do because we're the ones traveling.
Okay.
So sometimes when there was a neutral site, I think they kind of – It was both ways to figure out finding a neutral site, but now I think hosting, I think it's kind of a courtesy deal to what fits you guys best.
So what are you going to shoot for Monday or Tuesday then?
We would actually like to play on Saturday.
You're going to gun for Saturday?
We want to play on Saturday if they give us that opportunity and everything falls into place. And that's why Coach Braithwaite was meeting with parents. We want to put a game plan together and possibly go tomorrow night if we're traveling that far, because we want to be ready. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to Hastings to cover the Paxton Girls District Final tomorrow. So if you play Saturday in Falls City, then I'll just be booking a place somewhere between Hastings and Falls City and then going down to call the game. But whenever it is, I guess we should know probably by late morning tomorrow.
I would think so, yeah.
Probably get the details fleshed out.
We'll even have a better idea, confirmation tonight who it is. But then, we'll have more details probably early morning tomorrow. So.
Okay. And if it is Saturday, probably what? Early to mid-afternoon, maybe?
I would say early to mid-afternoon, yeah.
Would you leave tomorrow or just leave early Saturday?
Yeah, the plan is if it is Fall City, we would plan on going down tomorrow night and staying somewhere. That way kids are getting a good night's rest. We're not sitting on the bus all day. Give them a chance to get up in the morning and get their legs shaken out a little bit and maybe go get some shots up somewhere. So.
Okay. Assistant Coach Landon Swedberg with us here in the postgame. Wallace wins it on Max Hansen. Steal and layup with 2 seconds left when the ball went through the hoop. Jubilation ensued, 38-36. Final score tonight. Pairings will be out, official pairings out tomorrow morning. Whenever, against whoever. Doesn't matter. I'll be doing the game and looking forward to it. And Landon, congratulations. Probably going to be hard to get to sleep tonight, maybe,
yes,
huh?
Yes. I didn't sleep well the last two nights. Ever since the game on Tuesday night, you're looking at Paxton. You know they're going to have props to them. I mean, they fought their hearts out, and they made great adjustments from the first time we played. And props to them. That's a good basketball team.
Tell you what, both these teams are young and have most, you got everybody, barring any transfers, and then they lose Heblethwaite and McConnell and Perlinger, so that will hurt them, but they got some fine players coming back too, so, I mean, we could have the same situation again next year. This is one of, since I've been in Western Nebraska in over 30 years, this has been better rivalries.
Yes.
Football or basketball, you just don't know what's going to happen, but you know it's going to be a lot of fighting back and forth, and we saw that tonight. Coach, congratulations, and enjoy the afterglow of this one, and we'll see you maybe in Fall City or wherever it happens.
Absolutely.
Okay, take care. All right, that's Landon Swedberg. Appreciate him and Max Hansen, Colt Franklin, stopping by. We got the guys that were most responsible for victory tonight as Franklin finished with 16, Max Hansen with 15, and the other 7 points were scored by Brian Hansen at that critical three down the stretch and finished with 4. And then a three-point goal in the third quarter by Micah Garrison, the only other basket by someone not named Colt Franklin or Max Hansen. And Wallace wins it 38-36. They were just 2 of 6 from the free throw line. But they had the critical steal and score at the end. For Paxton tonight, leader was Maddox McConnell. Tough way to go out. That Maddox has had a great career for the Tigers. He finishes with 12. 8 for Tristan Heblethwaite, 5 for Keegan Florm, and 2 for Chase Holm. And 9 off the bench, the only player that subbed in tonight for Coach Harden, Tyler Markison, finishes with 9, adding up to Paxton's 36 points. Griffin Perlinger did not score this evening.